Good evening. This is Don Stone, pastor of the Helotes Independent Baptist Church. Now I'm here to share the Word of God with you today, and I do trust that I can be a blessing and a help to you as I bring the message that the Lord has given. I will be speaking to you today on the subject of Thou, God, Seest Me. We'll find our text in the book of Genesis chapter 16, and we'll read all 16 verses of the chapter. Let me read for you from the book of Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarai dealt hardly with her. She fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's wife, or Sarai's maid, rather, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, submit thyself unto her under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand shall be against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lehi Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Gered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And thus we have this account given to us of this experience in the life of Sarah, of course, as we will know her, and Abraham and Hagar. The Abram and Sarah, of course, had no children. And Sarah, like I suppose any other woman, would want children. She had acquired Hagar, the Egyptian maid, while they were down in Egypt in an experience where they had gone, I think, away from the presence of the Lord and his will in their lives for a time. And this maid lived with them. Sarah gave then this maid that belonged to her to Abraham. Hagar conceived, and consequently Sarah was despised in her eyes, and Sarah didn't like that. Therefore, Sarah began to treat this woman harshly, and she ran away. And God found her and sent her back. And she then called the name of the Lord, Thou God, seest me. And what an interesting thought, Thou God, seest me. Here she is out in the wilderness, seemingly alone, with that child that she will bear in time. And it seems like there's not anybody looking on, but God is looking on. He knew exactly where she was and saw her as she was. And I want to develop that thought today. As Sarah gave Hagar to Abram and Hagar conceived, ran away, God saw her. And God sees us today. The same name could be applied to God, or the same thought applied to God today. Thou, God, seest me. Let it become very personal in your life, and understand that you're not hiding anything from God. You're not keeping him unaware of some particular circumstance in your life or sin in your life. You cannot hide it from his presence. But I want to kind of put this in an order. First of all, I want us to see what it means to the believer to think that thou, God, seest me. How God saw us as we were before we were saved by the grace of God. Now, how did he see us? Well, he saw us as exceedingly sinful, dead in trespasses and in sin. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the folks of Ephesus, he said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Thank God we've been made alive today. God saw us as we were and loved us in spite of what we were. Gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die as his acceptable lamb on the cross of Calvary. And by faith today, we can receive the benefits of the work of the cross through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessed thought to understand that God saw us as we were and loved us in spite of us, and then gave his Son to die for us and saved us from our sin. So he saw us, first of all, as we were. And then God saw our need of a sacrifice, and he gave his Son. No other sacrifice was going to be adequate nor sufficient. There's not enough lambs to be offered that could redeem man. A man would have to die for a man's sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ would die in the place of sinners on an old rugged cross. God saw that we needed a sacrifice, and he gave his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sees our every need. That's what it means to a believer. Regardless of the circumstances, God always sees us and sees where we are. In rebellion, of course, God saw where Jonah was, knew he was in the belly of the ship, and later he was in the belly of the great fish, the whale. But God saw him as he was, and God sees us in our need. He understands our need. The Bible said that Jesus Christ took upon himself not the nature of angels, but he condescended and took the place of man, and that he is a very capable, able high priest because he is able to understand us, or he succors us. He understands our need and our needs, and he's, of course, he's ready at hand to meet the needs of our lives. But he sees us in all of our trials, and God sees then a substitution and salvation for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever Isaiah spoke of this in prophecy, he said, "And when he shall see of the travail of his soul," speaking of God the Father and of God the Son, "he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." And that's what it means, in just in part, to us who are believers. But what does it mean to the unsaved man? If God sees everything and sees every person, first of all, we'd have to say God just sees it all. He sees the unsaved man's sin. He, again, is not ignorant of what's going on in that unsaved man's life. He sees every event that has transpired in your life and in mine. It might be that you have committed some heinous sin. You might have even committed some crime. But there might be crimes of passion, where that you stole the innocence of some girl, and you think that's hidden, and it's not hidden before God. God saw it all, and God's going to deal with it. He sees all of our thoughts. He understands what our motivation is. He understands the driving force in the life even of the unsaved man. And all that we hope is, we might think in hope, is hidden from sin, from men. is open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Bible said, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees it all. God sees the heart. What does he see when he sees the human heart? He sees a desperately wicked heart, according to the prophet Jeremiah. He sees a heart that is rebellious against God. And he sees a heart that is dark and ominous today, as he sees the human heart. He sees us where we are, in rebellion against him, and dead in trespasses and in sin. And God sees your doom today, unsaved person, if you remain unrepentant. He sees the doom. There's three things I want to mention about the doom or the destiny of the unsaved man. First of all, there is death. It is appointed unto man once to die. Well, every person, saved and unsaved, are going to go through physical death, or the believers will be caught up at the coming of our Lord for the saints of God. But death is a stark reality out here before us, and God sees the unsaved man, death, and then he sees judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. And then he sees hell as the eternal abode of the unsaved. God sees the doom that you will experience if you remain unrepentant. A final thought today on this message. God saw a way to save sinners. God saw a way to save sinners. Well, it involves substitution. It means that one is going to vicariously suffer for another. It means that one who is willing to take that responsibility will take that responsibility of our sin upon himself. And he'll bear that burden. He'll bear the consequence of that to the old rugged cross. And there our Lord Jesus Christ will not be put to death, but he will literally lay down his life, as he said. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So it does involve substitution, one willing and certainly taking the place of another. It involves condescension. Our Lord Jesus Christ would have to leave the portals of glory and come to this sin-cursed earth, take his abode here among men as a man, and walk as a man among men. It involves sacrifice. He would have to go to the cross. It involved death, for he would die for sinners, according to the Scripture. And he would offer salvation to those by faith who will trust him. It's been good to be with you by way of radio.